heaven divide the day and the night. Let it be signs and seasons and days and years. He said he made two great lights, one through the day and night. Continues on. This is in verse 20. He says, now let the waters abound in abundance with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth. God created sea creatures and every living thing that moves. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. In verse 24, he said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts on the earth. And it was so, and God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind. And God saw it was good. Day 6, he said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion, rule, and reign over the fish, the birds, the cattle, the earth, and creeping things. So God created man in his own image. In his image, he created them, male, female, he created them. God blessed them and said, we good, live in a garden. That's what God says about creation. Wait a minute, Pastor Richard. That's not what I heard in class. This doesn't really make a lot of sense. Well, it kind of does. Look. Look. God said in day 1 through 3, this is what God said. Let's form everything. Let's set all the rules in motion. Let's create light and time. God said, first off, we're going to make light and day. God created time and matter. Then he said, okay, now we need to make the earth, and we got to make the seas. We're setting the stage. And then you know what? If we're going to make this earth, we need to make sure it's ready for life. So God sets the stage day 1, 2, 3. Then God says, now we're going to fill it up. Because we can't just set the stage. You just can't set the table without putting food on it, right? So God says, now we need animals. Let's throw some fishy down there, some birds up there. Let's get all the other things going on. Then let's put people on this thing. And God fills the world after he forms it. It's not really too different than maybe what you've heard in class. Maybe what you've heard with things. Now let me ask a question here. If you're confident enough, I'd like you to raise hands. Okay. Who says God created everything in 6 days? 6 24-hour days. Let me see. Who, any hands? Are 6 24-hour days. We get 6 24-hour days. Okay. Who says everything is here because of millions and billions of years? Let me see. Millions and billions of years. It's okay. I'm not going to make fun of anybody. Millions and billions of years. Wow. Who is just not going to raise their hand? Love it. Love it. Who's scared to answer this question? Who is waiting for me to tell them the answer? A lot of hands right here. I see you're waiting for me to tell you the answer. Who wants to think for themselves? I was hoping for a lot more hands here. That was a trick question. I really was hoping for a lot more hands because I want you to think for yourselves. I want you to hear what I'm saying, go home, and think about it. That's right. I'm giving you permission to think in church. Okay. For all those waiting for an answer, let's talk. There was nothing. Black screen. Don't worry, it's coming. Okay, I'll just pretend. Thank you. All right. So there was nothing. And then you have the Big Bang, right? Boom! Boom! There we go. That's what happens with the Big Bang. And everything happened. It was in a matter of a nanomicrosecond. Boom! Now, over time, all this stuff begins to kind of blow up, and it begins to find itself, and they begin to circle itself, and all of a sudden, all the little molecules begin to gather, and you have all these different things that create masses of stars and masses of planets and rocks and that we're living on. And this is what a materialistic viewpoint says. And somehow, stars were born, and things were happening. And over time, you find yourself with the beginning of a baby solar system, and there's this little rock that one day we'll call Earth, and it begins to have this liquid form over it, kind of like this, and you have this massive thing of molten stuff with liquid, and all of a sudden you have this poisonous sulfurous gas over it. Lightning begins to hit stuff, and all of a sudden all this stuff that is inorganic gets zapped with lightning enough to where all of a sudden this stuff becomes something. But only after all this stuff begins to happen, the tectonic plates begin to move, and you begin to see the land. All of a sudden, the land comes up, and it's the meteors, and you have this poisonous soup here, and all this stuff happens, and the lightning's hitting, and then you begin to have somewhere, somehow, down the billions of years, a single-cell organism. He's so cute. His baby picture, look at him. He has his dad's eyes. Wait. He doesn't have a dad. Lightning hit him. Zap. And there he was. You single cell organisms and this and that and the other. And now they begin to multiply, and over millions and billions of years, they begin to, you know, single cell, double cell, triple cell, quadruple cell, all up in this mug, and all of a sudden you begin to have life. Look at that. That's crazy looking. You get that weird thing over there. Bam! Nasty old ladybugs down there. And they begin to grow, and they begin to develop, and they begin to do things, and mutation after mutation after mutation, and all of a sudden, you begin to see, they begin to turn into reptiles, and then reptiles become dinosaurs, and then dinosaurs happen, but all of a sudden what happens is a meteor hit the earth, bam, the dinosaurs died and turned into chickens and turkeys, and then because they were too busy turning into chickens and turkeys, the rats rose up, and the mammals came up, and the rats turned into bigger rats, turned into horses. And the horses turned into monkeys. And the monkeys turned into people. Bam. Oh, look at that. That dude, he's doing a stanky leg right there. He's like, don't start without me. And then you go from primitive people to you. On your phone, texting, drink a latte. Bam! Right there. Looking good, going to college, getting your degree, spending money. And that is how we got here. In one opinion. Now you're clapping, but do you know why you're clapping? This is an atheistic viewpoint. I know, darn, clapped at the wrong time. Because this viewpoint will tell us that it's a random occurrence. The survival of the fittest, perchance through mutations that somehow begin to stick, this happens. Okay, fine. Okay, let's move on. Amos 4:13, if you guys have that, go ahead and put Amos 4:13 up there. I like this verse, and it says that, "The Lord is the one who shaped the mountains, stirs up the winds, reveals his thoughts through mankind. He turns the light of dawn into darkness and treads into the heights of the earth. The Lord of God's Lord God of heaven's armies is his name." Now, the moon doesn't come up because God's hand lifts it up, right? And the sun doesn't come out because God's riding his chariot across the sky. Like, we know that. The telescope said it's a big ball of fire, not a chariot. But just because God's hand isn't lifted up doesn't make these verses not true. In Genesis, it said God created these systems, the night, the seasons. God created the natural law and order of things. That's how we can kind of predict the weather. That's how we know what happens when earthquakes do their thing. That's how we know how to make medicine that can cure sicknesses, antibiotics, because God created laws and order that we can discover. And I'll wrap this thing up. Don't worry. I'm going to wrap this thing up real quick because I got to shut it down. I'm talking too much. But the problem is this, is if you look at what Genesis says, it's not too different. Now, I'm going to be really honest here real quick. I don't know if God did this in 6 days. I don't know if God did this in millions or billions of years. And I'll tell you what. I don't care. I know what I think personally, and you can ask me afterwards, but I don't really care. How old was Adam and Eve when God made them? How tall do you think they were? Were they babies? Did God have to change their diapers? Probably not. Like, you know, when you see those pictures, Adam's like looking good with a six pack. Eve got that long hair looking real nice. We don't have a problem believing that God created Adam and Eve. I don't know. Brother looked like he's 21, doesn't get carded, you know. If God wanted to create in six 24-hour days a fully mature universe, he can. He just moved the star right there. Boop. In six 24-hour days, God's like, zoop, 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 bam. And then it started all up. Hey, I'm fine with that. If God wanted to take millions and billions, I don't care. Where I do care is if you tell me that because of this science, God can't, now we got fighting words. I don't care as long as God started it, as God orchestrated it. I don't care as long as God spoke it to be. Hey, as long as God's doing his speaking, I'm okay. Because as soon as you take God out of the equation, I'm a little speck of dust in the middle of nowhere and my life means nothing. And you know what? I believe that God made, I believe there's more to life than this. Let's start this over. There's nothing but black in the universe because it's not there yet. Now, all of a sudden, there was just a bunch of chaos, and God said, let there be light. Bam! He creates time, matter, and space. He created light, and God looked over it, and he began to give it purpose. Now, over time, whatever time that was, he began to put stuff together, and he caused the waters of the land to separate. Was it day two? He called the differentiation between the water and the land. Was it day three? And he began to call forth vegetation. You can even say that's like the single cell organisms because plant life came before other kind of life, right? So all of a sudden you have day four, God begins to fill the seas with animals. And all of a sudden on that fifth day he begins to make land animals. And of course our friend the horse. And then there on the sixth day, God begins to populate the world with people that look kind of like him. And here you are today, sipping your latte, talking on your cell phone, sending the weird face on the Snapchat. I don't know what the 6 days looked like. And frankly, it's none of my business because I'm not that smart to understand it. But I am smart enough to know that only the fool says in his heart that there is no God. Because if I'm here and my life has no purpose, then it don't matter what I do or who I do it to. Because it's survival of the fittest. As long as I can beat you up, I'm winning the game. Right? Isn't that what survival of the fittest means? The sick and the weak die. It's like some twisted Hunger Games, right? That's what the world's reduced to. But if God has purpose in it, then that means something different. You see, evolution has its challenges. Transitional fossils are far and few between. You can't test evolution in a laboratory. Mutations, look, they did tests with mutations in insects that became immune to DDT. That's insect poison. And they mutated to where they were resistant to it. But when they stopped using the poison, over a couple generations, they went back to their normal selves. And the poison killed them again. Their generations down the line. Evolution has its problems. Evolution is it's the best idea. It's the best idea you got when you take away God. It's the only idea you got. I mean, even top atheists will tell you, where did everything come from? You know what their answer is? What came before that? How did we get here? Aliens. That's the best answer they got. Sell millions of books, and that's the best. Look, if you'll believe in aliens, how come you're not going to believe in God? Right? If you're going to go that far, you tell me God's not real? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's use our brains here, guys. I'm just saying. In the beginning, look, science won't give everything a purpose, but God will. You may not find the scientific structure of DNA in the Bible, but he'll tell you what to do with that DNA. Let's let science be science and let God be God. And together, they'll paint us the whole picture. So if I'm sick and I need somebody to help me, I'm going to ask somebody to pray. I'm going to ask somebody to comfort me, and I'll find that in faith. And I'm going to look for a doctor that believes in Jesus. Because I'll take prayer and medicine all day. Hey, look. God was there before there was anything. He created it all by whatever means he decided to do. And today, you can make that decision. But the one thing you do, wherever you fall on it, here's what I'm going to tell you this today, is God is the beginning and the end. He'll be there. He was there before, and he'll be there after. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. All things were created for him, by him, and through him, Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn over all creation, and he is the Savior of our soul. Science is not our Savior. It's merely a tool in God's hands. Let's give God a praise tonight. And let's shut this thing down, man. All right. Hey, the first part of the Bible sets the scene. Sets the scene. Says this is why we're here, and this is our problem. The problem is this, is we have a God that loves us, that wants to be close to us. But we just make these decisions that push him away. The question today is this, is where do you stand with God? Is God far or near to you? Look, we know he's real. We know he's there. We know he's behind it. We know he's over it, and we know he's after it. But the question is this, is where do you stand with him? Because of all these things, God is the gentleman to respect your decision. Can you believe that? And today, you hold the key to whether God's close or far from you. When your life is over, hey, if you get to live 116 years, that's cool, but it'll still be over. So when your life is over, where are you going to spend your forever and ever? In heaven or hell, God gives you one of two choices. So where are you going to go? What makes you think? Because most people say, well, Pastor Richard, look, I think I'm going to go to heaven. That's cool, but why? Because I'm a good person. Look, good people don't get to heaven because God's not looking for good. Truth is, we'll never be good enough. So it's not good. It's something bigger than that. God's not looking for people with nice, you know, table manners to get in. But Pastor Richard, I go to church. Hey, that's cool, man. But you don't got to, just because you come into a building, listen to some dude talk for a little bit, sing a song, does not make you a Christian. Just like going into McDonald's, eating a Happy Meal every day is going to get you a job there. And it certainly won't make you a hamburger. Maybe a little greasy, but not a hamburger. So coming into church is not going to make you a Christian. Pastor, I believe that you said it. I believe there's God. Hey, that's cool. But so does the devil. Look, the devil knows that there's a God. The demons were like, hey, that's the Son of God when they saw Jesus. They know more of the Bible than me and you put together. So it's not what you have up here. There's no pop quiz. Get 10 out of the 12 disciples right and you'll get into heaven. That's not the way it works. But Pastor Richard, my mom, I don't care if your mom's a pastor. Hey, that's cool, man, but God does not have grandchildren. What? It's true. It's true. You can't inherit heaven from your parents. It's a decision you have to make. I love what the Bible says. It says that Jesus is standing at the door knocking. He's standing at the door of your heart knocking and saying, are you going to let me in? God's done everything he can to get into your life. Now he's waiting for you to let him in. God's not mad at you. God's not angry at you. God's not disappointed at you. He knows everything about you, but he is just waiting on you to open your heart, to let him in. Jesus said, if you want to get to heaven, you got to be born again. That means you take your life, turn it around, and give it to him. Jesus said, love the Lord your God. I got that. No. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul. That is everything. Have you made a decision to give your life to God 100%? God's not looking for you to be perfect, but he's looking for you to be committed. Have you said, God, I want you to be the boss of my life, the Lord of my life? The Bible calls that being born again. That's all. Nothing weird. It just means that you've made a decision to give all your heart and all your life to God. If you've been running from him, I'm talking to you. If you've been doing your thing instead of God's thing, I'm talking to you. If you're in this place and you know you need to ask God for forgiveness, I'm talking to you right now. If you just know that life is jacked up and you need God to fix it, I'm talking to you right now. If you're in this place and you just know you need to get right with God, it's one decision. I'm going to ask you on a count of three in just a couple seconds, put your hand up, put it right back down. And when you put your hand up, you're saying, that's me. Pastor Richard, I need to turn my life around. That's me, Pastor Richard. I want to go to heaven. You say, that's me, Pastor Richard. I need God to forgive me. Pastor Richard, you say, I want God to change my life. Because he can. He will. He's waiting on you to make the decision. So if that's you in this place, front to back, side to side, if you need to give your heart to God, I want you to get your hand up on a count of three. If you feel challenged in yourself, if you are not sure, then let's make sure. If you've been running from God, stop. Stop. And let's make a decision to turn your life over to Him. Because He's a good God. And He won't make all your problems go away. But He will give you the strength and the answers for every problem you do face. And that is a good life. So if you need to get right with God, I want you to get your hand up on a count of three. Don't wait for anybody else. Not between you and anybody else. Between you and God. From left to right, front to back. If you can hear my voice and you need to get right with God, get it up. Stop playing games. Stop messing around. And let's get right with God. Because He is waiting for you. On the count of three, get your hand up if you need to get right with God. Ready? One, two, three. Who in this place needs to get right? Thank you. I said one person. Who else in this?